board to consider. One is, it's mistakenly, it says BMI support resolution. It's actually, it should be a VMI support resolution that we would consider later in the meeting. And then the other would be a build grant application that Mr. Dunford will address with us when we come out of executive session.
Okay. All right, sounds good. So I got a motion, a second. Any other discussion? All right, if not so, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All against? No, the motion passes. Now we're in executive session.
Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and read our certification.
Yes, sir.
Executive. Whereas the Towson County Board of Supervisors has convened an executive closed meeting on this date pursuant to an affirmative vote in accordance with the Virginia Freedom of Information Act, and whereas 2.2-3711 of the Code of Virginia requires certification by the Board of Supervisors that such executive closed meeting was conducted in conformity with Virginia law, now therefore be it resolved that the Towson County Board of Supervisors hereby certifies that to the best of each member's knowledge that only public business matters lawfully exempted from the open meeting requirements by Virginia law were discussed in the executive closed meeting to which this certification resolution applies, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion convening the closed meeting were heard, discussed, or considered by the Towson County Board of Supervisors. The chairman called a roll call vote with the following votes hereby recorded.
All righty, Supervisor Plaster.
Aye.
Supervisor Crewe.
Aye.
Supervisor Breeding.
Aye.
Supervisor Rudy?
Aye.
Supervisor Presley?
All right.
You didn't say aye.
I did. I said aye.
Mr. Chairman, I hate to say this for folks that stuck with us this evening, but I don't think we have any action.
They're tough.
All right. Well, we don't have any other business.
We do have two items, Mr. Chairman. One is just passed down. Was emailing with the board about what the Cannon County had done.
Oh, yeah.
A resolution opposing House Bill 1377, which is basically a study to see if the state wants to stop funding the Virginia Military Institute. And based on the emails I got from the board, there were members interested in passing this resolution in opposition to that bill. So I took the one Cannon County did and modified it for Tasker County and presented it this evening.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I'll make a motion that we pass the resolution opposing House Bill 1377.
All right, we got a motion.
Second.
We got a motion second. Any further discussion? If none so, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All against? The motion passes.
And since Ken stuck with us, I'm going to ask him if he'll talk to us about the build grant application, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Oh, we didn't get together.
So we've been working on the build grant application for several months with our grant writers. We actually submitted this grant last round. It was actually called RAISE, and now it's called Build. It changes every administration. Changes the name. We did not get funded for this last time, the grant writers have been working on this to improve our application. And for the ones that aren't familiar with what we submitted last time, I'll give you a brief little detail. What we're looking at is the 460-19 corridor in Claypool Hill, where we have all those entrances and everything, and the 45 mile an hour speed limit. We're looking for ways to make improvements on this, and this grant will do the preliminary studies and engineering on that. And we have looked at this one time before with VDOT, and their solution was to close entrances. That wasn't very well received, so we know we're not going that route, but we're looking at other options. The funding for the grant request is going to be $1,929,860. And what I'm asking for you tonight is to approve a 10% match on this grant, which would be $192,986.
Mr. Chairman, when we applied for this last year, we discussed that we're anticipating that Coronado Coal Company is going to begin mining in Tazewell County soon, probably this calendar year, maybe early next year. That will mean an increase in our coal severance revenues. By statute, a quarter of that money has to be spent on roads. Mm-hmm. Now, what we have done for the last 18, 19 years that I've been here is we've spent that money on orphan roads in the county. Over the last 7 years, we have paved, we believe, the pavable ones that we have. And this year, we're going into some graveling and drainage and things like that.
And some ones that need repairs.
And some repairs. So we have a window of opportunity before we have to circle back and start paving again that we can apply that coal severance money to match some really big federal grants. Mm-hmm. And if we get $500,000 from Coronado in that fund, $2 million, $4 million, $5 million a year, and you're getting these 90-10 grants from the feds, we can use this money to put ourselves in a position that we can really make some major improvements to transportation in the county. So I would ask that we agree to match this fund. It allows us to do the applications, $192,000, and that we ask the Coal Severance Tax Committee to commit to match that money out of their funds.
Yep. I think that's a good idea.
How much do we have in that fund?
About $1.5 million, $2 million?
I believe so.
$1.5 million.
I'll make that motion.
In our coal severance.
Yes, and the other thing too is it'll be, we won't know if we get this grant until October of this year. Mm-hmm. And if we do, we probably won't actually be able to proceed on the grant until probably September, October of 27. And then it will be an ongoing process. So it'll be 2 years we have to spend this money. Mm-hmm. And then when you do it, you'll spread it out over about two more years. So
we got a motion on the floor. We got a second?
Second.
All right, any further discussion? I just remember hearing about this, and that intersection is supposed to be one of the busiest intersections in Southwest Virginia or something like that.
It is.
Most dangerous.
Most dangerous.
See, we have what's called smart scale money to fix the intersection there. That's what we call the big fix. Then we have money from VDOT to do the intersection at Indian Paint Road there at Hardee's and McDonald's. That's what we call the small fix.
Yeah.
And then we're applying for this to go down the stretch to about Pounding Mill Branch. So with these three projects, we could take care of that whole area.
They were supposed to buy that hotel, that motel too, weren't they?
Yeah,
I think that's the plan. That's a forever project.
Okay, well, we got a motion, a second.
Yeah.
Is there any further discussion for anybody?
I'm ready.
All right, if no further discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All against, the motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Dunford. I think that's all that I have, Mr. Chairman, unless anybody else.
Yeah, on that resolution.
Yeah, you can bring it up. I guess we're just open it up for discussion. Anybody have anything to say?
I only have one quick thing.
I feel like we're doing a lot of resolutions, and maybe it's the time of the year that this stuff kind of happens. But recently there was a court case here in Tazewell County that ruled that that the push to do the new redistricting was not in accordance with law. I think that if you look at the redistricting map, it's detrimental to rural Virginia, and it's going to hamper our voices in our federal government, and it's even going to impact Southwest Virginia as well, because we're going to have less representation. There'll be one congressional district in all of Virginia that's going to be Republican. And so, and I'm not saying that political party necessarily matters in that, but Virginia is a purple state. So we all know, and it has been made very, very clear by the leader of the Democrats in the Senate that this is all a punishment. She has publicly stated that on Fox News. So I believe that we should look into passing a resolution at our next meeting that we're against the congressional redistricting, and that we need to follow the already the redistricting committee, and that that we're opposed to the current redistricting efforts.
Could I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I got a appointment for the Planning Commission, and I'd like to get voted on tonight so we can put them in. Okay, would it be okay?
Yeah, that's fine now.
Okay. Eddie Brown.
Is there a does Mr. Curry have a motion?
I don't know. Do we need a motion, or should we just work on that?
Well, can we?
I thought we kind of, was that a poll on the email? We just need to certify it, don't we?
For the appointment?
That was a different one.
We need votes for appointment. We can't do appointment.
Okay.
Can somebody explain what Chip actually, I know what he said they couldn't do this and they couldn't bill, but what did he actually do? Because I don't know the meat and potatoes of what he did. Aaron, can you explain it to us?
Of course, Mr. Chairman. In reviewing the court order that has now been appealed and is going to be pending before the Supreme Court of Virginia, the opinion rests solely on two issues. There is a provision under the Virginia Code that requires certain notices be sent out to the public when things involving elections occur. And redistricting is one of the things that the code would require notices to go out to voters so that they can make informed decisions when they decide to cast a vote. But there are time limits in when that notice has to be publicized. And I don't want to misquote. I know there's a 90-day provision for how long these types of notices have to be present before the final day of voting occurs. But what the legislation has effectively done is say, well, we can go ahead and go forward with the election process, but then publicize the notice after the fact,
yeah,
90 days prior to the November election. And what the court's position, at least in Tazewell County, was, it makes no sense to disenfranchise voters when the notice of what would have to go out in November deals with an election that is scheduled to happen in April. Okay. The second component, though, to this really just boils down to the separation of powers, and that's a doctrine in the law which deals with, you have an executive branch and they have certain functions. You have a legislative branch and a judiciary branch, and they all have their particular functions. And what my reading of the court opinion was, is that it was proper for the judiciary to intervene only for purposes of saying to the clerk who is involved with some of posting these public notices and maintaining certain types of election records, it would be inappropriate for them to follow course with what the legislation is proposing, because if you think about it, it's really no fair to a local official to, you know, be a participant in an election that is caused to be set in April, but then have to go post a notice about something later in the year for something that's actually already happened. And so that's what was dealt with here in Tazewell County. And so the injunction, I guess the application or the result of it would be that the clerk of court and any action that would occur in Tazewell County is enjoined or prohibited until such time as the legislative body either corrects what the court perceived as a mistake or until the Supreme Court reaches a decision on what was appropriate or what was not appropriate. And so that's kind of the court order in a nutshell and the decision that was ultimately rendered. Obviously, the Supreme Court of Virginia is going to have a final say in this. I have not seen any notice of when oral arguments may be set or any kind of briefing schedule, so I'm not sure the status of it at the Supreme Court at this time, but our justices are going to end up making the final decision on this issue.
Okay. All right. What do you think, Eric? I mean, something like this is something, when we start doing some stuff, I was always curious. So we try to see if Travis or Will will carry, like, take this stuff to speak. Did they speak about this stuff and go to these different committees?
Oh.
Speak? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just asking.
I don't know what they're doing particularly on this topic. I mean, I know they do, but to me, I've been around politics for a long time. After the 1990 census, when a majority of state legislatures were controlled by Democrats, they did something like this. They really drew congressional districts heavily to favor them. But what they did was they spread their peanut butter too thin. And instead of having five solid districts in a state that they knew they had and four they didn't, they drew it so they had a 5% margin in all of them. Well, then the political wind shifted just a little bit. And in 94, the majority just collapsed, mainly because of how aggressive they had been in drawing their districts. And so there's a lot of assumptions of who it favors and who it doesn't. But there's, a probability that probably not in 26, but maybe in 28 or 30, that the new districts would cut in favor of the Republicans because they spread the Democrats too thin. You know, it's gerrymandering is a complicated thing, and they can easily make mistakes. But it's historically been done in conjunction with the decennial census that we do every 10 years. And what's going to happen if once you tear down one of these walls of custom and order, then when the Republicans will get in, they'll redraw the districts to favor them. You know, I mean, it'll go back and forth, and now this one more thing that you've cast aside that used to be a bulwark against tyranny, and one side will do it, and Republicans get in, they'll say, well, you did it to us, we'll do it to you. Yeah, just like now you impeached our president, we're going to impeach your president, you know, just back and forth, you know.
I actually watched this week the Senate debate on this particular piece of legislation, and there were a number of Republicans and Democrats that both debated the bill. You have to understand, in the Senate and the House, a debate is a lot different than you all may have it at a local level. They're much more formal, and the chair of any committee meeting, or if it's a full-blown Senate hearing, for example, the chair of that can more regulate who's allowed to speak. And so there was a lot of discussion just this week on this. I know for a fact that Senator McDougal, Senator Stanley, Senator Obenchain all took a considerable amount of time to debate the bill, and Senator Surivel on the Democrat side, and then there was one other one from Fairfax area, or Alexandria, one of the two, that took quite a bit of time to respond to questions. And so for all intents and purposes, the bill or proposed legislation has been heavily debated. I can't speak for our representatives. I never saw them speak, but I'm sure they have also debated it. But I know it's already been through a full Senate hearing as late as this week to debate it.
You should have just let every county get one electoral vote.
Well, okay. So whatever you want to, what do you think we should do? What do you think they're going to vote on this here soon? Do you have any clue?
I mean, there's going to be rulings. And, I mean, they'll pass it. I mean, that's the thing. But the courts, the big thing, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that proposal has already gone through the third reading that's required for these types of bills or legislation. And so at this point, it really is just a matter of a process in order for it to get to the governor's desk to be signed.
The key issue is, first off, we also passed in our Constitution an independent redistricting committee. So not only is this not the appropriate time for redistricting, but also it's Biden's having the legislature bypass the independent redistricting committee. The other issue is that you're taking away, right now, you have, let's see, the first, the second, the fifth, the sixth, and the ninth. So it's 6 to 7 to 5, or very, you know, very close in representation right now. And now you're going to points 11. So if we got five, it's 6 to 5 right now. You're going to move to 1 to 10. I mean, how is that? I mean, not only is it gerrymandering, but I mean, all the districts affected, the sixth, the fifth, those are all rural districts. Yeah. I mean, so you're disenfranchising voters, but it's rural voters. And I feel like as a rural county, especially a county that this was heard in and our judges ruled on, that we need to make a resolution that we are against the current efforts for redistricting, franchising rural voters.
I will say, I think a Democrat in this district would be against this, because your chances, if you look at just from your district, your chances of ever getting a Democrat elected to Congress in the district they drew for us are pretty slim.
Yeah, because
that one district's going to be like 95% Republican. Yeah,
they're going to pack it all in one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't like the changes either. I've seen the map. I was like, this is crazy.
So what are we doing tonight? Because it's 9 o'clock.
What do we need to do?
Yeah.
Since we just want to rush everything, I'll just make a motion that we instruct our county administrator to draft a resolution standing against the current redistricting and the disenfranchisement of rural voters. And we can approve it at the next meeting, but just to have a draft resolution.
All right, we got a motion. We got a second. I call again. We got a motion. Do we have a second?
Okay. Are we going to just draft? I mean, we're not approving it. We're just drafting.
Draft it. We'll approve it at the next meeting. But this is just a draft.
Just a draft.
Do we have to accept it? The end? I mean, what does this really
do?
I mean, what?
We literally just voted it for VMI, which is not even in this part of Virginia, but we don't know if we want to stand against disenfranchising rural voters, and where we literally just had a judge in this county rule against the efforts. All it is it's drafting the resolution. If you don't like the resolution, you can either vote no to draft it, or you can vote no against it when we present it. All it is drafting a resolution. It's not passing the resolution.
Okay. I'll second.
All right, you got a motion
for
second.
The draft. For the draft.
Yeah, just a draft.
Yeah. I mean, I'll work on the draft. We'll see what's going on. Yeah. All right, I guess we got a motion second. Any other further discussion? All right, if there's none at all, in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All against?
You had an appointment you wanted to make.
Yeah, you're back to your appointment.
I do. Okay. Oh, my appointment.
Do we have any nays on it? Okay. All right. That motion passes now. Mr. Brady.
My appointment would be Eddie Brown for the Planning Commission.
Okay. All right.
I'll second.
We got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If done so, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All against? No. Motion passes. Any other business? All right. We need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion second. All in favor say aye. Against?
Let's go home.